Specials mit Ghost Town auf Flux FM am Donnerstagnachmittag. Seit nunmehr 15 Jahren inszenieren die Yes Men unterhaltsame und auch provokante Aktionen. Sie fälschen Websites großer Unternehmen, um auf die moralischen Verfehlungen eben jener Unternehmen hinzuweisen. Sie treten auf Konferenzen als Vertreter staatlicher Organisationen auf und verwirren die anwesenden Journalisten auch gerne mal mit Aussagen, die man dem Staat so gar nicht zugetraut hätte. Nun läuft ihr aktuellster dritter Film, The Yes Men Are Revolting, auf der Berlinale und tada, ich habe sie hier bei mir im Studio, zumindest einen der beiden Yes Men, Mike Bonanno. Er ist bei mir zusammen mit der Regisseurin des Films, Laura Nix, und sie haben den Aktivisten Glitz Crazy Boy mitgebracht, der auch bei mir im Studio steht. An alle drei zunächst mal ein herzliches Hallo, hello and welcome to Flux FM.
Oh, thank you for having us here. Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Laura, if you want to talk, you have to get close to the mic.
Hello, hello.
Now I can hear you. Hello. So how are you doing? How have you enjoyed your Berlin stay up until now? I mean...
It's been fantastic.
Yeah. Has the film already been shown, or is it the first time? Twice already. Okay, I thought it was the first time tonight.
Well, it's the first time in Europe, here in Berlin, but we had two screenings already.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah,
and everybody stayed.
That's a good first step.
That's not a bad way to go.
Yeah. I mean, you as a director, you must be quite pleased with the fact that nobody left.
You want people to stay. It's a good sign.
Now, before we talk about the film and the movie, let's do a History Channel thing real quick. The Yes Men saga kind of started in 1999, right? When you put a fake website of the World Trade Organization online and people started mailing you and they thought that you were official representatives of the WTO. Was that the point when you realized, oh man, this could be the beginning of an adventurous journey and this could be a brilliant form, a way of protesting?
Yeah, well, when we were mistaken for the real World Trade Organization, we got these invitations saying, you know, asking the director general of the WTO to attend their conference. And for a while, we ignored them, but then finally, we just thought, well, let's see what happens if we offer to send a substitute, which we did, and they accepted, and that started a long, long road that we're still on today.
Yeah. But it must have been like a eureka kind of moment where you're like, well, this might be the brilliant idea to go for a new form of protest, because we can actually go there and pretend to be the representatives of the World Trade Organization.
There's a sort of funny story there where, you know, the director general of the World Trade Organization in 1999 was called Mike Moore. That was his name, the same as Michael Moore. So our first impulse was, oh, we're going to send Michael Moore. Like they made a mistake. And so we emailed Michael Moore. We called, we emailed, but we didn't get a response. And eventually, after months of waiting for Michael Moore, we just thought, wait a minute. We don't need Michael Moore. Uh-huh. You don't need the same name. You just need to send someone else.
Sure.
So that, yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. How it all started. Another great story was the thing with the Bhopal catastrophe and the thing that you've done with the Dow Chemical, because you went there as fake representatives of Dow Chemical. You've promised to take responsibility for the 1984 Bhopal catastrophe and to take care of the victims' families and stuff. The result of that fake announcement was that the stock prices for Dow Chemical shares went down $2 million.
Now that's $2 billion.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Now that's a measurable impact on the real world that you were able to see there. But how important is it that the your impact on the world is like quantifiable or measurable? Is that something that's important to you at all?
Well, at first it was, with that particular action, we were very excited to be having an impact on the stock price. Yeah. And we didn't actually plan it to go that way. It was a surprise that they lost $2 billion. But it was also, after we actually thought about it, it was kind of sad because we realized that everybody in their right mind thought that Dow was doing the right thing by cleaning up the mess and helping the victims. Everybody.
Yeah.
But the market was punishing Dow. The market was saying no. And it was really not up to anybody's real, ethical.
Sure.
It was no longer a decision that was in our hands. We turned over that decision to the market.
Yeah.
Which was
the invisible hand.
Yeah, the invisible hand of the market, which was just going to do bad no matter what. And so it was that part was sad, and it made us realize, well, I guess we need to take the market back. Yeah. We need to come up with a different system.
Yeah. But the most important thing for you guys is to raise awareness for topics and problems that you take care of and that you want to spread maybe, right?
Yeah, and that's why also we've started to collaborate with this new project. We collaborate with many, many more people. Mm-hmm. And Gits Crazy Boy, who's here, he's here from the tar sands, you know, ground zero of some of the worst fossil fuel extraction in the world, like where his, well, he can tell you what it's like there.
So what have you done there?
I work with kids back home. Okay. I work with kids back home, and we've done a lot of protest demonstrations. The Keystone XL pipeline is trying to go through. It's the Lakota and Dakota peoples, which are found in the States. You guys call them, like, they made a lot of books on Winnetou. Mm-hmm. Those are kind of based off of the idea of who the Sioux are. Mm-hmm. They don't want the pipeline going through their land, because if it ruptures, and the company that does it has ruptured like twice every day, I think for about a year straight. Shit. Yeah, it's a different kind of oil, though. It's not like regular oil. This is an oil that is like the dirtiest oil in the world. It creates a lot of toxicity to create it. You're not drilling a well and sucking it out. The oil and the dirt are actually one substance. It looks like tar. And so these guys right now, as we're speaking, they're gearing up. And they're saying, because the Senate wants to put the Keystone XL pipeline through, and they're saying, on our lives, it's not coming through. Uh-huh. Even farmers, not just like the Sioux people, but also farmers. American citizens are saying it's not going through. If we have to put our lives up, we're putting our lives up to fight it.
Wow. And that's, you've been organizing the protest there a little bit? Or?
Like I said, I got arrested in what just outside the White House to bring attention and awareness. I got arrested outside of the Canadian Parliament. I got banned from Parliament twice for just bringing this issue up. I do debates to talk about it. I basically try to get everybody informed about this process.
Yeah.
That's what I do. And then doing stuff with the Yes Men as well.
Yeah, that's a crazy good idea, my man. I got to tell you that. Your 2010 film was called The Yes Men Fix the World, and that sounds pretty optimistic to me. What has changed since then, and how do you talk about these changes in the movie? Because you've developed as people, as men, as the Yes Men. You are a father right now. Your family is more in the center of your life. So how is that? How are these topics addressed in the movie?
Well, I guess that, you know, we decided that this film should be different. And we decided to put those parts of our lives and that struggle that you have to remain an activist and to keep working on those things despite, you know, having a day job, despite having, you know, kids who have to be picked up from school and things like that, and, you know, maintaining relationships. And that's part of the reason Laura you know, joined us to direct. Yeah. Actually, she was producing the film.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, she you know, was really clear that if we wanted to make a personal film about yourself, it doesn't work so well. You know, it's better if there's somebody else who can look at what you're doing from outside.
So you got the director's perspective into the whole project, the female director's perspective, which is maybe an interesting fact as well. How did you guys come together? How did you realize that you may be the right director for this movie?
Well, I've known them a really long time. Mm-hmm. Mike and I went to college together, so I've known him since he was 18.
Okay.
And we also went to
graduate. First good reason, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And we went to graduate school together. Uh-huh. And I was also around when he and Andy first met. And when they were Artmark, even before that they were the Yes Men.
Yeah.
And they, you know, drafted me to get involved in some really, really, really early actions. And I was involved in the second film. I was one of like an army of producers to pull that off. But this time around, we needed the film to take a really different direction than the other two. And in the first two films, they're kind of like these cartoon characters in a way, like almost like two guys who are like flying around in their capes, pulling actions off.
And it's more about the actions that they took than about the people behind those actions, right?
Exactly. It's and which is great. I mean, you want to have actions, and we have actions in this film too. But, you know, the reason to show the real story about them is that there's a real human there's a human dilemma, which is that we all wake up in the morning and we all wonder, how do we do something about this planet? Mm-hmm. What do we do? And we have doubts about whether or not anything we can do can make an impact. And in this instance, it felt like the right decision to show their doubt and to show their struggles so that people can see them you know, also facing the same problems that we all have. Yeah. That makes them more human. Yeah. You can identify with them more.
Yeah.
And when you see them be able to get all over their problems and continue to keep going, that made sense for this movie.
Because otherwise you would probably think, oh man, those guys are superheroes. They always have an answer for questions that I'm asking myself as well. But in this movie, you see that you are asking yourself questions all day, every day.
Yeah, and it's also funny. Like, it's funny to see Mike holding a baby while he's doing a yes man action. Like, we have Skypes where we're like planning actions, and he's like holding the baby, or we're talking on the phone. He's like pushing the kids down the street in the stroller, and you know, they also have a lot of conflict between the two of them. Yeah. They're two collaborators who've been working together almost 20 years. And I think it's a film about friendship and how you have to kind of figure out conflicts with your friends when you're doing something that's important.
It's some kind of Monster Metallica thing for the yes man, kind of, right?
That's right, right. I mean, the other joke was like, the yes men are evolving, you know, instead of the yes men are revolting.
That's interesting, too. Now, before we talk a bit more, let's listen to one song. And der kommt von Laura Marling and heißt False Hope. And Todeslied, listen to that.
Is it still okay that I don't know how to be alone?
Laura Marling mit False Hope, immer noch bei mir im Studio der Yes Man, Mike Bonanno, er hat die Regisseurin Laura Nix mit dabei und den Aktivisten Gitz Crazy Boy. Wir haben schon ein bisschen über die Geschichte der Yes Men gesprochen und erklärt, was die so machen. Jetzt sind wir gerade mitten im Film. We've just talked about the fact that one could get tired after 15 years of protesting, maybe as well. Because when I look at your work, it's admirable and it's working, but at the same time, it's like watching Sisyphus, right? The fucking stone, it goes up the hill, but as soon as it reached the top of the mountain, it starts rolling back down again, and you guys have to follow. So, is one getting tired after 15 years of doing the Yes Man? Are you talking about that in the movie as well?
Well, yeah, it's tiring. It's especially exhausting with, you know, because if I go home, then I'm also getting up at 5 or 6 a.m. because of the kids, you know? So then it gets, a lot of travel. And we work. We have day jobs, too.
Sure.
So, it's terrible.
And do companies or organizations put you under pressure as well? Because you've put them under a lot of pressure sometimes.
Well, we've been sued. We got sued by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And you see that in this current movie. Yeah. But, you know, that wasn't... It wasn't that bad because we always wanted to be sued, you know? So finally they gave us, somebody complied.
Yeah. You wanted to add something, Laura?
Well, I think that what the guys learn in the movie is that you can't do this by yourself. And the Yes Men have been working together for a really long time, but it's by collaborating with other people that they get their energy back.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want to know is like how you're part of something bigger than yourself. That's why they work with people like Gitz.
Uh-huh. And that reminds me that Gitz actually was fired after he did his action with us. He basically lost his job because he came and did the action with us.
Yeah, I was working with the health department, working with a bunch of different like social workers, but you couldn't be political. That was the thing.
Okay, so it was an official state health department thing.
Yeah, for Canada.
Okay.
You could do nothing political.
Okay.
And this was very political, what we were doing.
Yeah.
And so I asked for these days off. They didn't give it to me. The Friday they bought my ticket, I was like, okay, I'll just go. Ticket was at 1 o'clock. Lunch was at 12 o'clock. I left for an early lunch.
Yeah.
And I never came back.
Oh, no.
Quit, got fired, you know, same thing.
You don't follow the money, you follow your heart. So that's something that is admirable, too.
But I would have liked to see you go back to work and try to explain to them that you'd been impersonating a U.S. government official in Washington, D.C. Well, you know, that would have been fun.
Well, I could have just denied it. Like, that wasn't me. Look at the TV. It has credits. It says somebody else.
It's not me. It says something completely different. Now, you've invented a platform called Action Switchboard, and that's something to help you guys spread the idea of the Yes Man and to help you guys get more people into the Yes Man group, kind of, right?
Yeah, it's www.actionswitchboard.net. Mm-hmm. And it's basically kind of like a dating service, like a, you know, a Tinder type thing, and mixed with a kind of crowdfunding website. and it's for activists to get together to do creative direct action.
Yeah. So if I have an idea for a protest thing in Germany, maybe as well, I could present that idea to you guys, and you would think about it and get people to work with me.
Yeah, it's global, mm-hmm. and it's not just about climate change. It's about any issue that you feel is mm-hmm. important, and it's about, you know, hooking people up so that they can do action and contribute in any way possible. Mm-hmm. So somebody might be like a computer programmer that wants to help out a campaign against fracking in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, somebody might, you know, have some money that they want to contribute to that campaign mm-hmm. because that's the way that they can do something. And that's really what we want, is that everybody figures out one way to be involved. Yeah. You know, because there's a lot of different ways of doing this. There's no one way to go.
Yeah, and there's so many topics right now in the world that I think should be addressed, and I think many people, even our listenership, they'd be totally interested to engage in a protest against like TTIP or something like that as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then you get advice from the Yes Men and other activists.
That's so cool.
So what you're saying is basically through this website, actionswitchboard.net, you could become a Yes Man yourself. Is that what you're saying?
And we will also become you.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa. Kitsy is such a great promoter. He's done better than I have. Fucking hell, thank you. So you've heard of the Pan Collective as well, right? They're friends of ours.
In fact, they helped us infiltrate the Cinema for Peace Gala just a few days ago.
I just read a few things about it. Some of the great stars have been pissed a bit.
Well, they're not pissed in the long run, just temporarily for a moment, because we basically went there, we took the stage, we demanded that the people in the audience divest from fossil fuels now, and we said we wouldn't leave until everybody agreed to do it.
Okay.
So what happened then?
I wasn't in on that part. I was like, we'll make the announcement, and then we'll, I don't know, I thought we were going to get off the stage. But then this Academy Award nominated director for Darwin's Nightmare.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, check it out. He joined us on stage. He was so moved by the divest now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not asking stars for money. We're asking them to take their money back.
Yeah.
And so he joined us on stage. Mike and Hubert had a impromptu sit in. They weren't going to move from the stage until. Yeah. And then they tried to remove Mike, and he was pushed, kind of fell out of security guard's arms, took a tumble down a flight of stairs. There was 94-year-old Christopher Lee in a wheelchair.
Okay.
I thought he was going to fly into him. He didn't. He didn't, though. And then they escorted us off stage. They were all getting kicked out. Out of nowhere, Pussy Riot joins us.
Oh, see.
And they're like, we're not leaving. You know, we had this like fake polar bear that everyone calls an ice bear. Like, we're not leaving the ice bear or the Yes Men. And so we're all kind of sitting in the back. Security doesn't know what to do for like an hour, because Pussy Riot was like, we like these guys.
Yeah.
And at the same time, they're auctioning off all this movie memorabilia. And Gandalf's wand from the movie was like going past us. So I grabbed that. I took a bunch of pictures with that. It was really weird. And then we got invited to the after party.
Oh, that's nice, though.
By Pussy Riot. I know the security guards didn't want us there at the time. We made friends with them after, though.
I love the fact that if you protest at the Cinema for Peace Gala, you get kicked off stage.
No, it's perfect. And then I love the fact that they went to the after party, made friends with the security guards, hung out with them, invited them to the screening, and they came to the movie the next day, and they loved it.
Cool.
The bouncers that had thrown them out literally one day before.
See, so you got muscle now as well with the Yes Man. You got some bouncers. Okay, I mean, look at me. Yeah, you're muscle.
I think you call me a red Indian in your country. I'm like 6'4".
Okay, yeah.
I'm like the last descendant of Winnetou.
What a stupid thing to say. Well, but the thing is, all your actions, everything you do, does need a little bit of money, right? You always do need a little bit of money for your actions. You did need a little bit of money for the movie. You crowdfunded the movie, but there's more crowdfunding to go on in the future or right now, right? Is there something you can tell us about?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, on the Action Switchboard, you can also look for projects that you like and fund them through the Action Switchboard. Or you can go on there and list a project and ask for money. So it also has a Kickstarter-like function. Even though it's meant to connect people to other people primarily, it's also...
What a brilliant idea. It's so simple and so brilliant.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I can say
I'm
that.
I'm great, yeah.
It would have been stupid if you would have said that, but I can say that.
Thank you, yes. We'll just take it. I'll just take it, yeah.
Yeah, cool. So I want to wish you the best of luck for the next actions that you're taking. I want to wish you the best of luck for the movie tonight again. And please come back to this studio again when you visit Berlin the next time.
Can you come see the movie tonight?
I can't come tonight. I can't come tomorrow. I have to...
DJ myself.
Oh.
I have to make money.
You should just do this show from there.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
I'm thinking of a yes man-ish kind of action.
To maybe join you tonight.
I think there's like a little bit of seats left too. We have one showing tonight, 10:30. Tomorrow at around 2 o'clock. If you're not doing nothing, grab a date. Excellent date movie.
Yeah.
If you don't have enough money, go sell something. If you look like you really want to see it, I might sneak in. And if you're really cute too, I might sneak in.
See? So there's a solution for every problem. Yes. Heute Abend also nochmal auf der Berlinale zu sehen. Der Film The Yes Men Are Revolt. Und wir haben gerade gehört, es gibt noch ein paar Restkarten wohl an der Abendkasse. Da kann man sich ja vielleicht jetzt noch drum kümmern. Ansonsten läuft der Film morgen auch nochmal. Und wir werden uns ja dann schließlich auch bald über den Film freuen können auf anderen Vertriebswegen. The movie's soon gonna be to be seen in other channels, maybe on the internet or something like that.
Cinema before Arte. Okay. What are they called? NFP? Who is it?
Yeah, we have a German distributor and it's gonna be out in theaters probably in June. Oh. So we hope you look for it.
Yeah. We have to look for it, and we'll probably talk about that movie once again in June, so people go and watch it. The Yes Men Are Revolting, jetzt auf der Berlinale. Und im Juni, haben wir gerade gehört, kommt der Film dann auch nochmal hier in die regulären Lichtspielhäuser. Ich bedanke mich bei Giz Crazy Boy, Laura Nix und Mike Bonanno. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
See you again. Love you, Germany.
Dankeschön.
Bye-bye. Love you, Germany.
Tschüss.